Next on Radio 3, the first of two programmes in which John Bishop plays church organs by Father Willis in the County of Devon. Today he's playing Vidor's Second Symphony. The programme is introduced by Ian Carson.
And for this first programme we're at Great Torrington, a village high in the North Devon Hills, south of Barnstaple, with the nearby River Torridge, Tark of the Otter territory. The parish church has a colourful history. It was used as a munitions store in the Civil War, until it blew up, and it's recently come to house an organ which survived both the Blitz and, more recently, the threat of being consigned to the scrap heap. John, what's the history of this instrument?
Very interesting history. It was built in 1864 for Sherwell Chapel, a congregational church in Plymouth, and described at the time as being of full compass and power. Built, I suspect, to accompany massed voice, nonconformist singing, and built too, I guess, to make possible organ concert giving in the Southwest, for the specification reflects this very clearly.
And are there any contemporary accounts of the instrument at all?
Yes, there's a nice paragraph in the Western Morning News of 1864. Chiefly through the munificence of a gentleman whose name is not made public, the organ loft at Sherwell Chapel is occupied by an instrument worthy of its position. Mr. Willis of Albany Street, London, the builder, is well known as one of the most celebrated makers, and his name will be a sufficient guarantee of excellence. The organs in Wells and Winchester cathedrals were constructed by him, and he has recently renovated those in the cathedrals of St. Paul's, and be superior in quality to any in the west of England, except perhaps the one erected by Mr. Willis at Wells. But although not larger, it has more stops than any organ in the neighbourhood.
And the instrument survived well, didn't it, till, was it 1941, when disaster struck in the form of the Blitz?
Indeed. But the organ was salvaged and rebuilt by Heal of Plymouth in 1951.
And then the architects got in on the act.
And the chapel was redesigned and reordered, and there was no headroom for the pipes in the redesigned chapel. And it was at that time that Lucia Nesthinger from Exeter Cathedral, the diocesan organ advisor, advised Torrington Parish Church, who were looking for a new organ, that the instrument from Sherwell was likely to become redundant.
Well, we'll talk about the organ a little more at the end of the programme, perhaps, but Vidor's Second Symphony, why this piece?
I think because it fits like a hand into a glove as far as this organ is concerned. It's a colourful piece, and this particular symphony exemplifies, makes use of the very vital and colourful registers of this particular organ.
But did you have to alter the registers a lot on an English organ like this?
In this case, not at all. One can stick almost exactly to Vidor's suggestions and find that in balance and in colour, the thing works marvellously.
So it's only the diapasons, really, is it, that betray the organ's Englishness in this context?
Very largely, yes, that's so.
And the symphony itself, with six movements, it seems more like a suite. And the first movement has this curious title, Preludium Circulare. How do you think he arrived at that?
I suspect in order to make some kind of formal unity evident. His first sketch for this movement he was unhappy with, and indeed it does rather fall apart in formal terms. The second attempt was very much better, and it's this version we're using today. Very Franckian, very chromatic, and full of angst too.
And the second movement has a title which reminds us of Franck Pastoral, but is it Franckian music?
In many ways, not really, I think. I think this harks back in mood, if not in harmonic idiom, to an earlier tradition, a rustic, countryfied tradition.
But Franck comes back into the foreground in the third movement.
Very much so.
And then there's a sudden change of direction with this Salve Regina, based on the plainsong melody. This movement, was it part of the original scheme?
No, it wasn't. The original scheme contained at this point a humdinger of a concert scherzo, which I suspect was not very suitable for liturgical performance, and this Salve Regina replaced it. It's a movement which starts rather like Bach, the Big A Minor Prelude, ends a bit like Tournemire, and it looks forward to the Symphonie Romane and the Symphonie Gothique, the last symphonies of Vidor.
Then an adagio curiously marked andante, and a finale which demands heroics.
Indeed, a again, if I can use the word, a humdinger of a finale and deserving to be very much better known than it is.
Let's hear it then. The Symphony No. 2 in D major by Vidor, a work conceived in the 1870s, played by John Bishop on an organ built in 1864. John Bishop playing the Symphony No. 2 by Vidor. John, it seems that Cavaille Cole, the organ builder, found that finale a little harsh.
Indeed he did. There's a nice story told by Marcel Dupré, who writes, "Monsieur Cavaille Cole found the works of the young maître a little harsh. I must take you to Rossini," he said to him. "He will certainly have the same impression as me." Vidor had to comply one day and play the finale of his second symphony for organ on a miserable upright piano. Helpfully, Rossini undertook the pedal part, then turned to Cavaille Cole. "Of course not. This piece is very interesting and pleases me. Go on, young man."
But of course, John, you were able to play the symphony on something very much better than a miserable upright piano, and thanks to local enterprise.
Indeed, this is a remarkable example of parish and community cooperation. With the professional help of Lance Foy, the organ builder, the parish and community provided not only the will, but much of the manpower for this considerable operation, and made possible the conservation of a remarkable example of English Victorian organ building.
And gave it a new and entirely practical lease of life, too, as a serving instrument.
Indeed.
The organist John Bishop was talking to Ian Carson, who produced that programme from Bristol. Next Monday at 10 to 5, they'll be at Totnes for the second programme recorded on a Father Willis organ in Devon, and on that occasion John Bishop will be playing music by Mendelssohn.